All right, back here on OMF, the final hour of the week. How many of you and I work, Christian? Like four,
If we put
maybe
all the time together, not even a full day.
Unbelievable.
Oh, actually, no, we worked on Monday. They called the game on Monday.
Yeah, we did.
Come on, give us more credit than that.
Remember that?
That was straight up trying to sabotage my day.
All right, we continue to talk about the NFL draft because, let's face it, we finally care here in New England about this year's NFL draft, and our coverage is presented by Zooty. You can build any application your company needs in 1 week. Get your free trial today. Visit Zooty.com for details. And today we welcome in from ESPN and the Draft Scout. You can catch him thedraftscout.com. It is Matt Miller joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Appreciate you having me on today.
All right.
So you got all of this figured out because we keep on hearing backs may be changing here. Is this all smoke? Are we teams just throwing a bunch of crap out there to get people off the sniff? What's going on here?
I mean, y'all are in New England. You know how this works, right? This is absolutely they are. And I think also, like, there is something to it as well as, like, this draft process is so long. And it's like you almost run out of things to talk about and think about, and you over-evaluate players and you overthink situations. And so often it just goes back to, oh, okay, that's what we thought was going to happen. I could tell you, this will be my 11th year covering the NFL draft professionally. I could tell you how many times in 11 years a pick will be announced to be like, oh, yeah, okay, thought that was going to happen. And so I think, you know, we know that Trevor Lawrence is going to be picked first. We know that Zach Wilson is going to be picked second. Everyone you talk to in the NFL, every person connected within the NFL, you know, atmosphere believes that Mac Jones will be the number three pick. There's probably a little wiggle room there, but it really does feel like the draft starts at four, no matter what the betting lines tell you after Justin Fields' pro day, or no matter what San Francisco 49er fans want. It really does feel like we're going to see those three quarterbacks go off the board at the top, and then things get interesting within Atlanta at number four.
Yeah, so I heard you earlier talking about Kyle Trask out of Florida, quarterback out of Florida, about him being a good fit here in New England. But he's just, you know, one of, let's say, three, right? Because there's a Kyle Trask, there's Ian Book, and there's a Kellen Munn. I just feel like all those guys are kind of, there's not one guy that's completely separates themselves from the other one. So would you be happy with any one of those three guys?
Well, I would throw Davis Mills from Stanford in there. I'm not an Ian Book believer. I mean, he's gritty and he's tough and he's athletic, but he's very undersized. He doesn't have a very good arm. So I would throw Davis Mills from Stanford in, who, like, probably isn't on a lot of radars because he only started 13 games in college due to injury and then COVID shortening the season. But I don't think there's one guy that's better than the other, but I think which player, if they were to select one of those, it would tell us more about how Josh McDaniels wants his offense to evolve. We saw 20 years of drop back in the pocket play from Tom Brady. And then we see them bring in Cam Newton, which is a polar opposite from what Tom Brady was. So if they drafted Kellen Mond from Texas A&M, okay, that tells us they want to keep that athletic element to the quarterback position. If they draft Kyle Trask or Davis Mills, it tells us they want somebody who can operate from within the pocket, can maybe move around a little bit to extend the play, but isn't necessarily a running threat. It's going to be more of a downfield passer. So I think that will be the clue, I guess, if you will, from who they draft this year at the quarterback position will be, okay, this is what the offense is going to look like. And I personally believe the moves that they made in free agency would seem to point toward the direction of a more athletic quarterback, someone who's going to be able to operate in the middle of the field a little bit better. But we'll see what they do.
You know, Matt, I'm one that kind of wants them to go get a guy, right? Hopefully they never pick 15 again. If they got to go up to 8, 9, 10 to get one of these guys, and whether it's Fields or Trey Lance, and we were talking before, I mean, you could see Pitts and Sewell and Chase and Devontae Smith, and you could be at 8, and teams are just like, I can't pass up this defensive player. But do you like one of those two guys more than the other, and how far the Patriots would have to go up, in your opinion, to get one of them?
Yeah, see, the key is you might have to go to four because we don't know what Atlanta will do. And so Atlanta could take a quarterback in the future. They could also trade their pick. So it's not always about, you know, let's say Atlanta takes Trey Lance and the Patriots like Justin Fields. You could look at picks 5 through 8, be like, none of those teams are going to take a quarterback. We're okay. We just got to get ahead of Denver. But what you have to worry about is somebody trading up to make sure you don't, right? So I think that's what makes this interesting is, I love Justin Fields. He's my number two quarterback in this class. I think he's a tremendous prospect. I think he would be great in New England. To make sure you get him, you might have to go to four. If the Falcons draft Kyle Pitts, and the Bengals take Penei Sewell, and the Dolphins take Ja'Marr Chase, well, then Detroit's sitting there. Detroit can't really, truly be in love with the idea that Jared Goff is their franchise quarterback now and forevermore. So you have to worry about Detroit taking him. So I think that's where I'm with you. I think with 10 draft picks and having signed 21 players in free agency, now's your time to go get them. And something I said yesterday was that we've seen New England drafting at 32, 31, 30. It's really hard to get up to 4 or 5 overall from those positions. It costs a lot. It's not as hard to go from 15 to one of those spots to make sure you get a quarterback. I mean, it might cost you a 1 next year and a 3 next year on draft day to move up that amount. But if you can get Justin Fields or Trey Lance, it's absolutely worth it.
Real quick, I just want to jump in real quick. Say on a get up, a get down, that if the Patriots were able to pick draft Justin Fields, that they should get the duck boats ready? They're going to the Super Bowl. Am I paraphrasing that correctly?
I didn't say duck boats. I said the ticker tape. But okay. Yeah, I said that. I said get it ready.
Wow.
Like, get the Why? What? Ready.
This year? He's that? Yeah, right off the bat, as a rookie.
Not this year. No. Okay. No, it was more like you have the greatest head coach of all time. And like a good team, they won 7 games last year with just completely incompetent offensive play. No wide receivers. Cam gets COVID. There was no preseason for anyone to like gel and acclimate together. So I do think if you draft Justin Fields and you say, all right, we're gonna take this just a little slow, you'll probably beat Cam Newton out by like the bye week. Because you're drafted early, that's what we see happen. We saw it with Tua last year, Justin Herbert last year. If you're drafted early, you work your way into the starting lineup. I do think that they would be a Super Bowl contender very, very soon because I believe that Justin Fields that much. And also, like, it's a pretty safe bet to just say, hey, Bill Belichick's going to be back in the Super Bowl soon. You know, like it's probably going to happen. And I think the moves they made this year point to them, you know, reloading, being super competitive again. And I think, you know, we saw Tom get one without Bill, and I think Bill's going to be pissed off, ready to go, and try to get his own without Tom.
We're talking to Matt Miller from ESPN and thedraftscout.com. I'm of the opposite school of Lou. I don't think Bill's going to go up and get a quarterback because I think the only guy that's going to be available is going to be the 5th quarterback on the board, at least by the consensus of other teams. And unless he has a totally different opinion, I don't see him doing. So what I do see him doing is using and taking advantage of the fact that all of these teams are going for that one position and guys who he can look at and say, this guy can play for 5, 6, 8 years for us, dropping down the board. So what are the best players you see that you think could drop down to 15 that right now, and Bill talked about this yesterday, that you project at 6, 7, 8, and suddenly maybe at 15 you move up a couple spots because there's a guy you never thought was going to be anywhere close?
Well, I think it would probably be a defensive player because we are going to see a run on offensive players. You know, the quarterbacks are going to go, obviously, excluding the quarterbacks. Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase will be drafted within the first 6 selections. Devontae Smith will probably be drafted within the first 11 selections. The offensive tackles, Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater, will go off the board within the first 12 to 13 selections. So maybe that's a situation where, like Bill said, you can come up 2 to 3 spots and get a player. But I think you look at the defenders. Micah Parsons, the do-everything linebacker from Penn State. J.C. Horn, the big physical corner from South Carolina. Patrick Surtain, the 2nd corner from Alabama. Those are the players where you look at your big board or your player rankings and you say, now, Micah Parsons is the number 5 overall player in this class. What's he doing on the board at 13 or 14? But I think to take it one step further from what Bill said was the teams drafting directly ahead of them, Philadelphia, the L.A. Chargers, the Minnesota Vikings, you have a lot of similar needs. So it becomes a question of would those teams want to trade back when they have a lot of the same needs that you do and they have to worry about you trading up to take a player that they might like. So you always love the idea of being able to trade up. Takes 2 to tango. It's not always as easy as wanting to get up to, you know, 7 or 8 to get the player that's falling down the board.
So, Matt, we were talking earlier about just how unique this draft is. And you've been doing this, you know, longer than we have. Is it like historic based on the fact that the first non-quarterback taken off the board, like after 3 quarterbacks go, the first non-quarterback to go off the board could be a tight end?
Very historic. Yeah, very historic in that regard. And I think some of that is you have to look at Kyle Pitts from Florida, who you're referencing, and say, okay, well, is he a tight end? I think he's an offensive weapon. I mean, he played split out wide. He played H-back. He played inline tight end. He played He played everywhere. So I think that's what makes him interesting, is that he can just be, he's an offensive weapon. He's a mismatch player, almost positionless. You know, it's just, okay, let's just match him up. If you're playing a team with a weak slot corner, play him in a slot. If you're playing a team with slow linebackers, play him a tight end. You know, you could move him around to really work the defense. So it is unprecedented, absolutely, in that regard. He's the best, he's the highest rated tight end prospect I've ever evaluated, if you had to put a position on him. And he's just different. 6'6", 245, running a 4.4. Aren't very many human beings like that. So I think that's what makes him so exciting.
Oh, we're talking to Matt Miller, ESPN, and from the draftscout.com. Matt, Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com, he actually had a GM power rankings as far as draft goes. He only has 23 total because other guys maybe short track record or new GMs. He ranked Bill Belichick as the 18th out of 23 as far as best GMs in the draft. Where do you see Bill in his drafts maybe recently?
I haven't seen the full list. I have said before that I think Bill the coach saves Bill the GM. I need to look at his track record at drafting defensive backs is not very good, especially in the second round. But I think it's also harder. You have to remember that the Patriots a lot of years are drafting, like I said earlier, you're drafting really late in the first round. You've been so set at some key positions that you're really just trying to fill out a roster. Like, I think it's easier to draft when you're bad. I know it might sound weird, but it is, because you're just looking for good players. And with New England, for so long, you've drafted, like, you've had Tom Brady, you've had the McCourt, you know, you've had Devin McCourty, you've had these mainstay type players where you take the quarterbacks off the board, you take the safeties off the board, you have Stephon Gilmore, so you're not worried about that corner spot. I think it makes it a little bit harder to draft. Now, 18 seems a little bit low, but I do think that, you know, the greatness of Bill Belichick has been his ability to coach, his ability to identify low to medium tiered free agents and have them become really, really good players for him. Like, that's the beauty. I don't think that we're ever going to look back and be like, yeah, Bill Belichick, that's the greatest drafter of all time. No, he's the greatest coach of all time, and he's probably the greatest evaluator when it comes to free agents of all time. Like, you can't be good at everything, and he's really, really good at a lot of things.
So, good looking at that and what he's done later on in the draft, we look at slot receivers. He's been terrific at finding those type of guys, even taking him from different positions. So, Julian Edelman retires. I don't know, maybe Kendrick Bourne, maybe he's going to be your slot receiver, but it's probably likely, because I keep on hearing that this draft is loaded with slot receivers. Is it, and is that something that you could see him doing, especially with the compensatory picks he's gotten the third and fourth?
No, I think that, like, that's what you love about it, especially this year. This is such a smaller wide receiver class in terms of body type. Like, all the receivers this year are kind of smaller guys, and there are a lot of slot receivers. Rondale Moore from Purdue, he's 5'7". He was kind of a gadget player, but as a true freshman, he's one of the best players in the country. Then he got hurt. Then COVID happened, so he kind of has to take a little bit of a slower, you know, approach to the year this year coming off that injury. But there are a lot of guys like a Rondale Moore who are going to be available in the third round who could be great players. Tutu Atwell at Louisville, another one. There are a lot of really good players in this draft who would fit that role of, you know, Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Agholor are going to play on the outside. You got these two great tight ends. Now we need that yards after catch underneath receiver. You can find value, absolutely, at that position.
Hey, Matt, last one for me quick. I know that the second-tier guys you talked about, right, Mond and Trask and I think Mills, right, from Stanford?
Yeah.
How would you rank those three guys?
I have it Trask, Mond, and then Mills. Mills has the best traits, huge arm, but he's only played the 13 games, and there's not a great track record of guys having success with that small amount of college exposure.
You can check out Matt Miller, thedraftscout.com, and, of course, you'll watch him on ESPN, and he joins us live today on the Harbor One Hotline. Great talking to you, Matt. We appreciate it. Have a great one.
Yep, thank you so much, guys.
All right. See you later.